He's coming up. It's there.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're in the last couple of blocks of the afternoon. Folks, I've got a special guest host sitting in the chair for me tomorrow. You know him better as Matt Rothschild. And I'm going to have my very next guest hosting for me on Monday, because this gal needs a little break, a little battery recharge time. My very
Absolutely. Next guest
is...
Right, Maggie? Right.
Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, my friend.
Maggie, delighted to be with you once again to chat about stuff going on in America, as always, right?
Never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment. In and outside of the courts, both in both venues, right?
Everywhere, all day, every day. Jim, I heard reporting yesterday at about 11 a.m. from MSNBC that a source within the DOJ was telling the media that the federal cases against Donald Trump were basically being mothballed.
Right.
Tell us why, what the status is, your thoughts, and let's start with sort of the legal procedural stance of the January 6th case.
Sure.
Then we'll talk a little bit about the super secret spy documents case.
Right.
And what folks can expect. But procedurally, Jim, we know that he had a superseding indictment. Jack Smith had went and got a superseding indictment.
Cleaned up all the stuff that the Supreme Court caused, right?
Decision.
Exactly.
Right. I can't hear Jim, Cardi, which... Heart makes it difficult to have a conversation. Let's try that again. Jimmy, you there?
I am here.
Still can't hear you, Jim. Right. We had him before. We'll get there. Jim, you just keep talking, and when I hear you, I will stop talking.
All right, that's good. I think I've got the mode of what
Cardi,
we're...
I still do not have Jim.
Chatting about, and it has to do, as you indicated, with this insurrection case, and also the other federal case, of course, coming out of South Florida. That's the documents case. And the news, Maggie, that you are hearing, of course, is perhaps not entirely surprising. Jack Smith is the special counsel. He's the attorney appointed by the attorney general, and he is the one who has been leading these prosecutions up until, even to this point, still on those cases. The news that you're talking about, Maggie, is inside the Department of Justice beginning to think about bringing those cases to a conclusion. And that may be accurate. I suspect it probably is. Why? Because there's this general principle inside the Department of Justice. It's not legislative. It's not constitutional. Supreme Court hasn't said you got to do this. But attorneys general, Department of Justice, for many, many years have said there's a policy against prosecuting a sitting president. And so if that's the case, Donald Trump in about 72 days is going to be a sitting president. If that is the case, then likely those cases cannot go ahead. And that's the principal focus behind them. And then we can talk more about the specifics of those and how that might happen going forward. And I'm hoping, Maggie, we can chat about this, too, if we've got the connection between you and me. Yes?
Well, I am listening to you on the phone while we are on the air here.
Great. And that'll work. That'll work just fine. I'll continue to answer your very good initial question, which is about the status. Let's talk about the insurrection case, right? Yeah, this is the big one, right? This is the matter in front of Tanya Chutkan. She has been for recent weeks soliciting views on what she should do with this immunity decision that you just made reference to. She is asking the parties to tell her what she should do. Is the Supreme Court telling her basically she's got to dismiss the case? Jack Smith has filed this omnibus memorandum already saying, no, you don't have to do that. As you just indicated, Maggie, we've got this superseding indictment response to all that. Just set a trial date. That's what he said a number of weeks ago. And interestingly, Donald Trump's attorneys, as of this time, still scheduled to file their brief and their materials at the end of this month. She has not yet rendered a decision on that. Presumably, she still can and maybe will if indeed the Department of Justice doesn't go ahead and dismiss this before then. And the question again is whether or not that terrible, obnoxious, outrageous decision coming out on July 1, immunity for presidents for criminal conduct. Does that mean that the insurrection case has to go away in major part, or entirely. And my sense is she's going to say no. She's going to say no, no, there's nothing about that. As stunning as it is, it prevents her from going ahead and presiding over that trial. But again, the thing that may oversee and again overcome all of this is if she makes that decision right now, she can presumably schedule this on for trial. If the department and Merrick Garland decide that this policy about not prosecuting a sitting president is to stay, and again, it's a policy, it's not a mandate, if that holds, then at some point we are going to see Jack Smith file a motion to dismiss that prosecution. And you and I both know what that's all about, a motion to dismiss. The judge has to give leave of court to dismiss because there is some judicial involvement in that, but likely that will go away, and that probably will happen sometime. Could be tomorrow, more likely in the weeks just ahead. And that's the status of that one. The parallel case, also, again, prosecuted by Jack Smith. You also asked about it. It's the documents case. That one's in a different procedural posture. You and I both know that Eileen Cannon, again, made another outrageous decision. She said that, no, you can't prosecute this case because the attorney general did not properly appoint you, Jack Smith, had it been by the president, a position that is endorsed by no one else, in with the exception of Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court. That's pending before the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals right now. Jack Smith took that up. And so they're having oral arguments. They're filing the briefs that you and I file all the time. They'll decide that case. And again, absent the Department of Justice filing a motion with the Court of Appeals to dismiss, the Court of Appeals at some point will render a decision. Either say, Eileen Cannon, you're right, unlikely, or Eileen Cannon, you're wrong, send it back to the trial court. Again, the thing that supersedes all of that is if Jack Smith says, well, gee, even if the 11th Circuit sends that back, we still have got to get a trial date at some point. And if that is the circumstance, that trial's not going to happen before January 20th. Department of Justice, very likely, again, moving the 11th Circuit, maybe then moving the district court to dismiss the case, leave of court being granted, and those two federal cases will go away. Donald Trump doesn't even then have to direct his attorney general or his Department of Justice to go in and bring those to a conclusion, which is what we've all been talking about throughout this campaign. They may go away under the Garland administration. How interesting is that?
Yeah, so, and there are a couple of things that I wanted to dig in here with you about, Jim, because I'm not asking you to comment on the editorializing that I'm about to do unless you wish to. And that is, I think Merrick Garland's going to go down as one of the weakest U.S. attorneys, or excuse me, attorney generals in modern history, especially when you compare him with the likes of Darth Vader, a.k.a. Bill Barr.
Right.
And if I'm Merrick Garland, I'm not doing what the news is reporting is happening. I'm not mothballing those cases. I'm not permitting Jack Smith to ask for a voluntary dismissal of these cases. I would be making Donald Trump actually get rid of the cases.
Right.
The second thing I want to say, the 11th Circuit may just sit on it, right? Mm-hmm. They could just not issue a decision until Donald Trump actually is sworn in. I think that that would be unwise. I think they should take up the decision by Eileen Cannon and slam her back down as they've done already. And that we need that because Trump is considering appointing her, of course, to either to be attorney general herself, which she's utterly, completely disqualified herself from becoming, or worse yet, a Supreme Court justice, right? Dear God, help us.
Shortlist on both of those, right?
Yep. No kidding. But here was the other point I wanted to make and then just get your reactions to all this sort of commentary. I am absolutely 100% certain, and if there were odds making on this, I'd put a lot of money on it. Judge Chutkan will rule on this before Donald Trump is inaugurated. She is going to press the hand. She will not allow this case to go away without a ruling. And I would expect that ruling to be lengthy, specific, and in only the way that Article III judges can do, with simmering rage.
Absolutely. And she's done it before, right? Remember the first time that she issued this great opinion. It's incredibly readable. It is for the ages, right? She's the first one wrote, 50-page opinion saying, no, there's no immunity for presidents who are sitting in the White House. And she's going to do the same thing. I think that's exactly what she's going to do. She may be in sharpening her pen and off lat right now because she doesn't want to get that motion from the Department of Justice. But this is also a judge, Maggie, you and I both know, who has said, you know what, she didn't say I don't care about the campaign, but I'm going to treat you like every other defendant. And I'm not going to change my schedule based upon the fact that you've got an election, you've got a campaign to undergo, different from Juan Merchant in New York.
Yes.
She is the judge who said, I've got a case to administer, and the politics are interesting. Do I know about them? Sure, I do. But I'm not going to have that direct what I'm going to do. And so I think, and frankly, I hope, I would endorse exactly what you said, that sometime, frankly, soon, when all the pleadings are done, she gets this submission by the defense in December, mid-December. She's got this underway. You and I could write this overnight, probably, and yes, put it in place. Issue that before the end of the year. And do that, and then indeed, if the case goes away, you have articulated not only the fundamental principle that there's nothing about what the Supreme Court did that should have deep six to this prosecution, that's number one. Number two, you're also sending that signal to America that there is some legitimacy in treating every defendant in the same way across the country, including somebody who's going to be sworn in as the President of the United States of America. Those are powerful messages to send, and I agree with you entirely on all of that, including, frankly, going back to the place that employed me for 30 years. One of the things that we look back in history as to Merrick Garland and the department generally waited too long. Right. And it was the House committee that basically said, wait a minute, this is not just those people who are attacking the Capitol building. This is higher level mid-management, higher management. Waited a year before really even opening those files. And here we are now in the wake of that. An awful lot of people obviously participating in this process. You've got some people on Capitol Hill. You've got the Supreme Court that slow walked all of this as well. Lots of responsibility there in Washington, D.C. on all political sides. But Merrick Garland also, I think, needs to look at history, look at his own performance of his Department of Justice and say, why didn't we look at this right away? Why didn't we look at that ellipse statement, that speech, and say he's inciting people to come and do exactly what he wants? He invited them to Washington, D.C. You open a file, maybe not in the hour, but after the horrific dust settles on January 6th, by January 10th, that file is opened internal to the department. Nobody's indicted yet, and the investigation is not complete, but you undertake it right away. It took the House Special Committee to prompt that happen when the Department of Justice folks are looking at that and saying, wait a minute, all of these things are happening, and there are people coming and testifying before the House Committee. We need to get them in the grand jury. Should go, and you and I both know it should go in the opposite direction, right? Lots of blame there, I think, as well. I agree with you. It's a good country where we can sit around and criticize our attorneys general on all sides of the political aisle.
Yes. Folks, that's Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney from the Eastern District of Wisconsin. We're going to come back briefly with Jim after these breaks. I want to talk about pardons and prosecutions, Jim, and what might be in the works. I also want to briefly provide this fact to one of my texters from the 414. They said that Democrats take more money from big dollar donors than Republicans do. That is not true. Of the $1.9 billion spent by America's richest families on all federal campaigns this cycle, $1.36 billion, or 72% of that, went to support Republicans, while Democrats received about $413 million. Dems de facts. And I hope we all agree that regardless if the other side is doing it, money in politics is dumb and it is corrupting. Money ain't speech. Corporations aren't people. We're going to pick it right back up with Jim Santel. Your texts and calls will be welcome. And don't forget, folks, I'm going to give you some resources, a place that you can go to find about the 10 ways to be prepared and grounded now that Trump has won. All on the other side, you're going to want to keep it locked here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.